Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
It's time for The Deuce with Jimmy Chavez on 1620 The Zone. All the headlines you need in 2 minutes or less.
In Lincoln last night, Izzy Bourne scores 20 as the Huskers hold on to beat Michigan State in women's basketball 71-67 at the PBA. They led by as much as 21 late in the third quarter before surviving a furious rally by the Spartans, who had cut the lead to just one in the final seconds. Alexis Markowski and Sam Halby added a pair of double-doubles for Nebraska, who improves to 13-9 overall, 5-6 in the Big Ten. They're off for the weekend, but they head to Evanston to take on Northwestern on Monday night. The Husker men host Penn State Sunday at 3:30. They've lost four straight. They're in desperate need of a non-loss. Anything good to happen, they need it. Busy day in the Big Ten as red-hot Rutgers host Michigan State. This is all tomorrow. Iowa host Illinois, and you know the drama leading to that with the ticket shenanigans. Elsewhere, a big ranked matchup as number 21 Indiana hosts rival top-ranked Purdue at Assembly Hall. Minnesota entertains Maryland in the Twin Cities. In the Big East, in addition to Creighton and Villanova tomorrow night on The Zone, the Patrick Ewing Farrell Tour continues as Georgetown welcomes UConn. 14th-ranked Marquette, Shaka Smart, hosts Butler. And 16th-ranked Xavier will host St. John's in a day game. That'll be a must-watch to see Xavier trying to continue on. In the NFL, Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, during what was likely his final appearance at the Raiders practice facility, said he has no intention of extending the February 15th trigger date on his contract to give the team additional time to resolve his situation. Asked during the Pro Bowl skills competition broadcast whether he'd ever been as hot as he was during the precision passing competition, his answer was perfect, not that hot. It's probably why I'm going somewhere else. Former Texans linebacker D'Amico Ryans officially introduced in Houston, and New York Giants safety Julian Love says Nick Sirianni, who has coached the Eagles to the Super Bowl, is in for a free ride right now because Philadelphia's talented roster. I thought that was part of the deal. I don't understand that. But
is that a shot?
They've been running their mouth, the Giants have, since they got knocked out by the Eagles.
Hey, by the way, the Iowa City has a pretty a large Buffalo Wild Wings there and kind of like their little entertainment strip. Do you think the Orange Crush just has a watch party? Just take the bus all the way out to Iowa City, just have a watch party there? Just take over the bar? I mean, you already had the bus gassed up, had your travel plans, probably had a hotel.
Could they all buy tickets, 200 of them, just individually?
I think the Buffalo Wild Wings could accommodate them. I think it could.
Just make sure the wings are cooked all the way through. Have your experience.
That was an Applebee's issue. That was not a Buffalo Wild Wings. Don't do Buffalo Wild Wings like that. But yeah, if you're going, you don't have to be in the building. Just have your presence in the actual college town itself. Just saying. You don't have to scrap the plans.
It's enough now that I want to watch the game. Just to see
if one or two students make it.
Yeah, because now you've been challenged.
They had a different scheme. They didn't have the charity scheme.
No, they just wanted to go to the game.
You know why the Orange Crush has never come back to Lincoln? Because Caleb Walker killed him. Remember the dunk that he had against him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he killed the Orange Crush. They'll never come back to Lincoln. They exited out of the Devaney Center. Speaking of exiting, Pete Thamel is reporting that OU and Texas trying to leave for the SEC in 2024. The discussions between OU, Texas, and the Big 12 have stalled.
Oh.
That would not sit well with the SEC if the Big 10 gets USC and UCLA next year and Oklahoma and Texas are still in the Big 12.
Just wonder if the Big 12 is maybe, I wouldn't say having that in mind. The Big Ten is going to have some new additions. We can't control that, but we can control this. The Pac-12, they can't really do much about that. I was convinced that they would be in the SEC by 2024. Because wasn't it when they originally made the announcement that they would allow their agreement to run out with the media rights, which was 2025, right? Yeah. So the smart money was, they're not going to. That's just, it's a long time to sort of be an outgoing member. It's awkward. It's, the relationships become very strange. So the smart money was on that. It's interesting that the Big 12, maybe not interesting, but just kind of, again, using the word awkward of having the member schools around. And so, nope, sorry, you guys are here till the very end, till we get our new media rights deal. And I still think it's going to happen. I still think they'll be there before 2025. But
I think the biggest issue in this, at least this is my feeling, is ESPN has to compensate Fox.
Yeah. What are they? So Disney right now, what are they on the hook for? Because they still got, gosh, well, I'm trying to remember how everything that they have, that could be a real challenge there. Because they're on the hook for a lot of money already. Eesh. Good luck, Oklahoma and Texas.
See, I think it would be tough to, I mean, what's the valuation of the money that you need from ESPN? If I was Fox, you know what I would approach ESPN? Is any Texas OU non-conference games are Fox property to allow both of those schools to get out a year early.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, if you're looking for some type of value, yeah. I mean, at this point, you've got to find some type of middle ground. I cannot see this thing going to 2025. Oh, boy. Good on the Big 12. Wasn't it? So it was Bowlesby who was accusing Disney and ESPN. Remember that whole conspiracy theory of trying to basically, was it with other schools? Was like trying to pretty much sabotage the Big 12 so they would be forced to break up, and then ESPN would no longer be on the hook for the remaining money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where you stood on that. Is kind of like bat you know what crazy is that theory sounded like. It wouldn't have shocked me. It really wouldn't have shocked me if there was at least an attempt at this.
Whatever happened to Texas does whatever they want to do. They just get blocked.
Hmm?
Then if Texas wants something, they go and get it, right?
See, that's typically how it works.
I think this is more of Fox and ESPN trying to figure out what your compensation is for ESPN to get Texas and OU a year early.
Mm. Yeah. It's probably, I mean, yeah, it's that's got to be what it is. Because the Big 12, what, as far as just having them continuing to be in the conference, other than the dollars and cents when it comes to the value of them, when it comes to trying to usher in a new Big 12 and basically having two lame duck institutions, what's the benefit of having them still there when you know they're gone? Mm-hmm. And that's all the conversation, it's all the focus on any of the broadcasts is about. It's not about talking about Oklahoma and Texas as Big 12 members and associating with a conference. No, you're looking at two teams, and you're going to see this with USC and UCLA. The amount of Big 10 that's going to be brought up compared to the current conference in the Pac-12, the same thing with the Big 12. So I can't imagine fighting to keep them there to the bitter end unless you really are trying to stick it to them. It would have to be the networks.
See, I think this is more of the TV portion of ESPN against Fox. There's also a caveat here. If you're fighting for, you got two major brands. Michigan plays at Texas next year. Okay? That's a Fox game.
Mm-hmm.
But if Texas is in the SEC, that's not a Fox game. The game's being played in Austin.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. That's worth fighting for if you're Fox.
I mean, I'm shocked that Michigan is actually playing a difficult non-conference
game. You know, every now and then, once a decade.
So here's an interesting scenario.
They played Washington not too long ago.
So not only does Michigan play at Texas next year, Michigan plays at Oklahoma in 25.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yeah, Michigan has Oklahoma, Texas, Washington, and Notre Dame on the non-con. They don't renew the series with Notre Dame until 33-34.
Mm. Wow.
And that Washington game is a return game.
Yeah.
Where they played them.
That was 21 or 22, yeah.
All right, 836. Jimmy, where's Sip?
Don't know what's going on here. He confirmed yesterday that he would be on.
All right, let's text Sip.
Want to hear more about this Matt Rhule discussion.
Can we text Rhule and see where Sip is?
We ask Rhule to come in,
Rhule at 8:36 knows where Steve Sip was. Boys, we are in for a long Matt Rhule era at Nebraska.
Hey, the conversation must have went well yesterday. Yeah.
It's still going.
It's like, wow, this is what I'm getting into?
Mm-hmm. Like, Coach, could you come on the Zone in Omaha to talk about your conversation with Steve Sipple?
We're missing Sip right now. Can you enlighten us?
So here's something else that I've observed about Matt Rhule. And this can either be good or bad. And again, it's early and, you know, the season isn't here when you get into the day-to-day and the days get longer. I am getting the sense, and from some people that have made a couple of comments, nothing negative, that Matt Rhule likes consuming media.
Oh, yeah?
Whether it be websites, newspapers, or radio.
Really?
Yeah, not... just.
Good morning, Coach.
Just see, the guy likes football. He likes to hear football discussion. It's not like, you know, it's not one of those things that it's the Bo Pelini era where they are monitoring whatever is said.
Yeah.
Whether listening to the radio, which they listen to the mornings in 1620, we know that as a fact because there were calls. Or reading the press clippings and calling up Steve Sipple in the Journal Star building around the corner and saying, get your into my office. Yeah, they had people monitoring the message boards.
Oh,
I think
God.
I think we
so
might
they were P1ers.
Why would you want to, why would you do that to yourself?
Well, because they were trying, well,
a couple of things.
One, they were trying to figure out who was leaking stuff.
Injury news and whatnot.
Well, inside information. You know, things that were going on inside of the building that would show up on message boards. So they were trying to put two and two together to figure out where that was coming from. And then, just monitoring to make sure that things were being said. You know, there were things that behind the scenes with Randy Gregory that, you know, got out there that they were not very happy about.
Yeah.
So... But I think this is the case that he's new, just trying to get the lay of the land. And so he talks to people like this guy, like Stephen M. Sipple from On3.com. Sip hosts a radio show at 93.7 The Ticket in Lincoln with Jake Sorensen and Bill Bush, and he joins us now. Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing? Are you out of breath?
Oh, I was walking, but I just walked in. I was kind of walking to my truck, and I thought, better walk back into this building so they can understand me. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
We got you.
Crystal.
We got you. How you doing? I'm glad you're back on 1620. There was a lot of word on the street that you were going to boycott us.
What? Where did that word come from?
I don't know. I was just told by our general manager. He said he was hearing it from his message boards.
No, there's no truth to it. You're hearing it from...
Yeah.
Person
that
most.
Hey, so you've covered a lot of different coaches, and I know you and Gascan got the opportunity to talk to Matt Rhule yesterday. What's your just general impressions of him? Not of what he's done in 2 months, but you're just of like all the different personalities that we've had in that role. What's your just general impression of him?
I would say he's properly complex for this job. He's a CEO, but kind of a benevolent CEO, but not a CEO that you would I mean, I'll tell you what, he's demanding. He's a demanding CEO, yeah. but I think he's able to do it in a human way. But you know, I heard, you know, I heard before he took the job, you know, when he was being mentioned prominently, people in the industry would say, Sipple, he's really demanding. As a demanding coach. So that's good. I think that's what Nebraska needed. I mean, Trev, if you remember, one of the critical traits that Trev Alberts identified before hiring a coach, when he fired Frost, the day he fired Frost, he was asked what he wants, and one of the foremost things he mentioned was a grinder. He wants a grinder. Mm-hmm. And that's what they got. He loves it. Which is a little different than we've had here a little bit. I mean, in that I would definitely call Bill Callahan a grinder. I wouldn't call Bo a grinder. Wouldn't call Frost a grinder. Wouldn't call Riley a grinder. And I think, not that they didn't work hard, but, you know, like Bill Callahan took it to another level. And I think that's what Matt Rhule would be like.
Does Rhule strike you of the guys, the coaches previously you just mentioned? And I agree with you about Callahan and being a grinder. And it might also have a little NFL-ism in you where you have to be that at that level to have even any success when you get to Sunday. Is organization. Matt Rhule strikes me as I look at his staff that he's building on field and off field, and just the way he walked you through questions about his roster and his day-to-day and how they do things on Wednesday. This might be one of the more organized head coaches that I remember at Nebraska in a while.
Absolutely. I think you'd have to go back to Callahan in that regard. And yeah, that's like when you were asking me the question of what are my impressions, the term CEO comes to mind really quickly. But he's not a cold CEO. He's very personable, you know, and I think he is very, I mean, he does, when he says he wants this to be a good experience, he wants his student athletes to remember their time at Nebraska as a good experience, something that enhanced them. And he also says that about his assistants. He wants the same thing. I think he's very real about that. But, the mix in that is he's got to be the man. Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy. I mean, those things don't always correlate particularly well. I want you to have a really nice experience here and experiences that enhance you as a human. But sometimes, you know, you got to be real with people. Mm-hmm. And that's not always pleasurable. So he must be able to strike that balance. He's proven in that regard. He's done it. You know, he did it at Temple. He did it at Baylor. Things got off the tracks in the NFL for him. But and I think he's hungry now. I think that's a word you would want to use to describe him. He seems hungry to me. And you can spin that NFL experience at Carolina a couple ways. But the way what I've heard from him, some of his best answers to questions, some of the things that struck me most were how he's responded to being a failure. You know, at Carolina, it didn't work. But his response to that is excellent. You know, he took positives out of it, but I think he took positives out of it, and there were mm-hmm. positives, legitimate positives. But he's also, I think it makes him hungry. So I think Nebraska's getting him at a good time.
Well, and I like that you use the word hungry there too, because in talking about a demanding coach with a staff that comes connected to Rhule, but not all in the most recent stop and different stops. You know, you hear sometimes coaches or leaders are demanding. It can sort of be a facade because then there's not always accountability. And I know we've also talked a lot about the accountability factor with the players and the coaches. So, Sip, just again, with your interaction with him and what you've taken here in the past 2 months from Matt Rhule, do you feel like there is going to be that proper accountability, especially with some of the younger, more inexperienced coaches, that it's not going to be like, hey, accountability, where you're done, but there's going to be sort of that balance between accountability, but also kind of bringing them along in those coaches' development as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's all about accountability. In fact, I think it was Terrence Knighton who, it was either Knighton the other day, Terrence Knighton on Monday, or Foley, who, when asked, what are the things, what comes to mind first when you think about working for Coach Rhule? And I think it was Terrence Knighton that said accountability. Daily accountability. That's what I mean. I mean, I think he's all about it. And now listen, a lot of people are right now driving to work and saying, well, every coach has to emphasize accountability. And that's true, but I think we'd all agree that some coaches emphasize it more than others, and some are more effective.
Yeah.
More effective at drawing accountability out of people than others. If that weren't the case, then all coaches would exist at, you know, with the same success rate. Mm-hmm. They don't. But I think Rhule does a good job of preaching accountability and his people being accountable. I mean, you can preach it, but if people aren't listening, what's it matter?
If you listen closely, he's giving you the blueprint of what has made him successful in the past. There's a lot of the Baylor blueprint that they have laid out in 2 months here. I also think accountability amongst staff members, which is very important in this day and age. Steve Sipple joining us. He kind of went into Xavier Betts and how Xavier Betts got back to Nebraska. How much of an impact do you think that Matt Rhule love will have on Xavier Betts, the person that will benefit him if he makes it to the football field in the fall on a consistent basis?
Well, a lot. I mean, because that's where Rhule will start. That's where he'll start the process of building Xavier Betts. He'll do it at a human level first. And I imagine he does that with most guys, but if not all. I mean, he wants to operate. In fact, if you listen to Matt Rhule or his assistants, they emphasize the human element, you know, getting to know the players on a human level, not looking at players as commodities. I think that can help with Xavier. I mean, we don't know. We don't know how that's all going to go. If you're a Nebraska fan, you obviously hope that Rhule and McGuire, his position coach, get through to Xavier. I don't know. Maybe you don't need to get through. Maybe he's already. Maybe he's all in. I don't know what that picture looks like with Xavier Betts. But I know Rhule will start at the human level with Xavier, and then you hope the football part falls into place.
Sip, the quarterback conversation was a big part of this too, and just hearing from his thoughts on Casey to Jeff Sims, and even to guys that are going to have more reps because of Casey's availability in the spring, on the type of impression that they could leave on this coaching staff. What did you kind of draw from that quarterback conversation?
Clean slate, you know, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot when there's a coaching change. The coach comes in, says, everybody, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Everybody's got a clean slate. And the good players will say, that's fine. That's fine with me. I'll be the starter again. I bet that's Casey's attitude. You know, bring it. Well, I know it is because I've talked to his dad about it. Casey, I've talked to Casey Thompson's dad about it. I haven't talked to Casey directly about it. But Charles Thompson said their attitude has been, they've known all along that Nebraska was going to bring in somebody. They brought in Jeff Sims from Georgia Tech. They knew that the Thompsons knew it. And they said, bring it on. I mean, this is what you got to do anyway. There's very few places that Casey could go where they just say, you're our starter. You got to generally compete. And I like that. I like that attitude. Bring it. Now, again, clean slate. And Jeff Sims comes in with 25 games at Georgia Tech under his belt. Pretty good stats. And I mean, the head coach, Matt Rhule, has been effusive in his praise of Sims on a couple occasions. Now, yesterday was the first time he really expanded on Casey. And, you know, he said he had elite accuracy or elite timing. So I guess he said he has elite timing. And he watched those games and he saw what Casey did. So, you know, now Casey is going to miss. He said Casey just got to get healthy. Casey might be able to throw a little bit in the spring, but he won't really, you know, Casey, the way his dad portrayed it was Casey wants to kind of find some rhythm during the spring, find some rhythm, you know, in May. And then June, you know, they're doing things over there. It's not, they just don't shut it down. And then you know, there's player-organized workouts that the coaches are very knowledgeable of and track pretty closely. And that's when Casey can kind of enter the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And establish a rhythm going into August, when then it's game on, right? Then we got a quarterback battle, and I think that's healthy.
Would you be shocked if he wasn't here August 31st?
I would. From talking to his dad, he's a sixth-year quarterback. He's 24 years old. I don't know if he'd want to make another move right now. It didn't sound like it, you know. In this day and age, you never say never. I mean, but to answer your question, yeah, I'd be very surprised if he's not here in August.
Doesn't this seem like it's this is going to be that position group, the first test for Rhule on how it plays out? Because he's got some familiarity with Sims. He's now getting to know Casey. He's trying to figure out what's behind him. You've also got what could happen in 24 at that position on the horizon, but you have to focus on 23. Doesn't it feel like the quarterback decision, which won't be made for a while, is the first major test for Matt Rhule inside of that locker room and with the fan base?
Yeah, I mean, now, you know, the hiring of his assistants was pretty big too. But yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, how you manage a quarterback, we'll call it situation, does tell you a lot about a coach. Tells you about a lot about the way he communicates, not only to his players but to the fan base. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I do think that's the case, and I think this will be. Yeah, of course, it'll be scrutinized. Everything is scrutinized here, and yeah, we'll be watching that pretty close.
You know, Sip, we were also kind of talking about this earlier with the other quarterbacks that will be interesting to see, you know, given Marcus Satterfield's connection or even some type of loose affiliation with them, like a guy like Heinrich Harburg, you know, who maybe mm-hmm. with a clean slate, all of a sudden, you know, this staff sees something in Heinrich Harburg more so than the previous staff did. Or you look at a Richard Torres, you know, in a connection with Satterfield, like all of that, do you expect to sort of be played out a little bit more in spring where these guys are getting a little bit more reps and you get a better idea? Because the one guy that we're not talking about at all is Chubba Purdy. And, you know, another guy that, again, from a clean slate standpoint, I know kind of banged up as well, could probably really benefit from that with this staff.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they face kind of an uphill battle in that Sims comes in with so much experience.
Right.
And, you know, Chubba does have experience, but played 6 games, 2 starts last year. But Heinrich Harburg and Torres have never taken a snap in a college game. Now, Logan Smothers also won't be available in the spring for the same reason as Casey, shoulder injury. But yeah, I see where you're getting at. And it's been sort of interesting to these coaches, Satterfield and Rhule, both have, you know, indicated that they think Heinrich's a quarterback, first of all. I mean, you know, there was speculation about Heinrich Harburg maybe moving positions, at least by the media fans. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. Rhule yesterday, you know, he said that he identified Heinrich as a quarterback with a certain skill set that he likes. I think with Harburg, it's just a matter of executing offense, understanding offense decision-making. He's got all the physical attributes that you need. He's an incredible athlete. So it can't be that. So, yeah, you watch that. And of course, you watch Torres. Satterfield recruited him a little bit when Satterfield was at South Carolina. So he's familiar with Richard Torres. Richard Torres has a big arm. Chubba's a gritty kid. I mean, I hope Chubba comes back strong. But to answer your question, of course, yeah, they're going to get a chance. But that rep conversation is always critical in this. How are they divvied up? You know, how's it going to work? I don't know. And it'll be sort of hard to ascertain that part because we don't see practice. I don't think we're going to be seeing practice. How are those reps divvied up? That's critical. That's a critical part of this equation that will be hard to kind of get, wrap our arms around, I'm afraid.
What do you mean? We're not going to get to see practice? We're not going to have daily availability?
No, I think those days might be over. I mean, we saw, I'm trying to think back. Riley let us see a lot of, lot of August, a lot of spring. And I do remember, because I've never had a better handle of personnel than I did during that era, during that period with Riley. Frost completely shut it down, except for, you know, you get a couple half-hour shots where they, early in the practice, where they weren't doing a whole lot. And I don't want to come off critical, because if I were a head coach and there was a media corps with 50-plus members, I wouldn't let them near the practice. So I completely understand. I would never let them in the practice. So I get it, but, you know, when there's a quarterback battle, it's sort of hard to judge from the outside. You're trying to kind of do it with what you hear from other people.
Hey, and I, you know, a couple of the subtle things he's changed, whether it be the setup for his press conferences, one where everybody can sit. I also like this transition. I never understood how they broke up spring ball, but I like how they're going to do it this year. When they get back from spring break, the first day back from spring break on the 20th of March is when spring football begins, and they go for a month. I like that setup better.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. There's probably benefits to to breaking it up, having a week off, and then resuming. I don't know what they were, but I didn't. And I think, hey, Gary, I think there was a couple of those times where it was almost they had to do it that way. That I don't know that there was even a choice. But, yeah, I like it better this way, too.
All right. I'm glad that you rejoined us. I didn't know if we'd have to have a reboot with our relationship, a reset, or, you know what, if you, like, would come on the show and you'd be entirely different and be a remade Sip.
Yeah, I don't think you got to worry about that at this point of my life.
Did you bring up the word remade to Coach Rhule yesterday?
No, I didn't.
All right. Did you guys talk about anything but quarterbacks?
Yeah. We talked a lot about different things.
So you're just saving stuff.
I only wrote that one thing. I peeled that quarterback stuff out of there. But if you listen, we covered a lot of ground, like Dr. Susan Helsley talked about a lot, the critical nature of that hire.
Yeah, by the way, that's sneaky. That is a out of the box, could be a home run hire.
Oh, yeah. He said that she's a rock star Lion. So we talked about his thoughts on how he approaches it with freshmen and how many he thinks could play. He said there's guys in that incoming freshman class that they think can play. He didn't get into who. It was sort of interesting, though. He said that there's some freshmen who don't want to play, you know, and I think people forget that sometimes, that some guys just they know they're not ready. Mm. So, yeah, actually, if you haven't seen this on Husker Online, it was a pretty wide-ranging interview.
Good stuff, Sip. We appreciate it, and good talking to you. Have a good weekend. You got a busy weekend?
Semi.
Yeah.
Got to do some. Yeah, some work. I got to do some more.
Oh. Yeah. Bed Bath and Beyond.
Don't know if there'll be enough time.
Maybe a little Olive Garden. Yeah. Hey, by the way, we had PG on yesterday. He sends his best. He can't wait to have you stay at his house when the Colorado week is here.
PG is unbelievable. Thank you for having him on. He's a gem, isn't he?
Like a proud father over here.
Yeah, he really wants you to stay at his house in Denver.
I don't know. I don't do a lot of that.
Sleepovers?
For Parker, I might do it. Seems like it's imposing.
You know, all right, that's okay. Hey, good to hear from you, my friend.
All right, God bless you.
All right, God bless you too. Go Big Red. GBR.
Sip.
Red, white, and blue.
Thanks for having him on.
Three favorite colors.
Like a proud papa.
All right.
Never gets old.
There was some good stuff. We focus on the quarterbacks because that was a majority of their conversation. Rhule did, if you do go and listen to it, Rhule, I think, knows the roster a little bit better than he leads on. He dropped some kind of obscure guys that are on Nebraska's roster that you don't necessarily come to top of mind. So it's a good listen. And we'll see. March 20th is the start of spring football. For a lot, it can't get here soon enough. And the spring game, which probably will be sold out, will be the 22nd of April. All right, last hour, Chad Brown will join us. Former CU Buff, Hall of Famer in Boulder, NFLer. He's coming up next. Also, Matt Verzal will try and hold. See what I did there? Hold him off for a little bit later in the last hour of Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.